Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We are back. It's 34 After. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com or jimblasingame.com. That's all just like it sounds, like you think you would spell it. No extra S's or G's or H's or anything in there. jimblasingame.com or smallbusinessadvocate.com. If you like to type, that's a one with a lot of letters there for you. Russell Brown is our guest. He's our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust and original member, actually. He's our business buying and selling expert. He's the author of a number of books on the topic, including strategies for successfully buying or selling a business and preparing your business for sale. He's got an outstanding piece of software to help you buy a business that we'll get him to tell us about a little bit later on. But he's our good friend, and we're talking about the laws of the business buying and selling jungle. Russell Brown, welcome back to the show.
Morning, Jim. Glad to be back.
It's good to have you back, as always. And let's get right into our laws, Russell. I know that as you know, and as many of the audience knows, we've been conducting a series on this, on the laws of the buying and selling jungle and business buying and selling jungle. And I think we're on law number 10, aren't we?
Yep. Hard to believe it. We're already up to law number 10. We've gone through the first nine in some detail. And we get to 10, which take a little time to talk about, but it's one of those very important things, and it's part of the due diligence process.
Mm-hmm.
And that law is, always assume there are skeletons in the closet. I think we all know what skeletons in the closet means. And what we're doing is...
And the reason you need to always assume that is because there always are.
That's right. And you know what? It doesn't mean that you don't... that you're not going to buy that business, or that you're not going to be able to sell the business.
Sometimes a skeleton is our friend.
Well, that could be. Yes, negatives can be turned into positives. But the point is, when you buy a business, you need to be fully informed about what the nature of the business is and what the potential problems are. You need to know these things. You have the right to know these things. And so what I've done is I've taken the most common skeletons in the closet and very cleverly alphabetized them. So we can go from A to Z, and we can cover each one in a little bit of detail, if you like.
All right.
And let the listening audience understand a little bit about the kinds of things that you might find as a skeleton in the closet.
All right. What's number A?
A is accounts receivable that are uncollectible or very, very, very past due. You know, accounts receivable is what people owe you. It's what your customers owe you. And sometimes a business for sale might show a very large number, a dollar amount, of, hey, look how much business my customers, here's what they owe me. And in the process of buying that business, a buyer typically buys the accounts receivable. In other words, if there's, say, $100,000 on the books of money owed to the company, they increase the value of what the business might be valued at by $100,000 to buy those receivables. And then when the customers pay their bills, they send their checks in or however they pay the bills, it continues to go to the business, which still is in existence, just under new ownership. And the customers don't see any change from that point of view. So the problem is you have to kind of determine what the age of these receivables are. So you have to ask the question, how many days old are these receivables?
The way that's going to work, Russell, as you know, folks, is that you're going to be looking to buy this business. You're going to be looking into it, and they're going to show, first thing you're going to, when you get the financial statements, by the time you get those, after you've gone through a few other steps, you're going to see a balance sheet. And maybe the balance sheet looks really good. And maybe one of the reasons it looks really good is because of the accounts receivable that are identified there. But what you don't know is that's like somebody pulling up in the backyard in your front yard with a train load of produce, and the guy says, I want to sell you this produce. And you say, wow, a train load of produce, there's no telling what that's worth. But what you don't know is whether that produce is a day old or a month old. Unfortunately, unlike produce or other perishables, Russell, the accounts receivable don't always stink, do they? Sometimes you have to hunt for the smell, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hang on to that thought, Russell. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come right back, we're going to talk some more about the due diligence. This is a very important element, very important component of buying a business. And we'll be right back with Russell Brown after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. It's 22. We're back. 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Russell Brown, and we're talking about the laws of the business buying and selling jungle, and we're specifically talking about some key areas of due diligence, folks. Some of the rocks that you need to make sure you look under, and we're talking about what Russell says it might be some skeletons, and we were talking about the AR. The accounts receivable, and you know, one of the things, Russell, that some people might not realize, more people than a lot of people might think, don't realize, that if they're buying a business and they're going to borrow some of this money from a bank, the bank is going to ask the questions that you're recommending that they ask the seller. And if you don't ask those questions, if you don't know that you need to ask those questions, you're going to look like you're not prepared, you're not ready for prime time when you go talk to your banker, aren't you?
Yes, that's correct. And this is a fundamental issue. It's not one of the more vague ones. And it will be an issue if you're involving a bank at all. And certainly any advisor you have, whether it's an accountant or attorney, will also be probably advising you to look closely at the receivables.
And Russell, let me stop you. Let me ask you another question here on that. Isn't it likely that a seller, knowing that they were going to sell, would leave something on the books, because if it's on the books, at least it has a potential to be collected and identified as business, and it won't show up as a negative on the main documents, and maybe and they can assume that maybe the buyer won't look as closely at this as they should. Whereas if they went ahead and wrote off a bad AR, that would definitely be a loss. That would definitely hurt the performance of the company, and it would absolutely create a lower value. And so a seller is probably going to leave a lot of bad stuff on there if they know they're going to sell, and see if they can get away with it.
Oh, absolutely, of course. And here's the other thing that they're liable to do is to up in the months upcoming to the sale of the business, you know, as they put it on the market, they may be running fairly dramatic price cutting sales,
right,
to increase the level of overall revenue for the business, and you know, if they have a receivable, if it's a kind of business has receivables, to drive up those receivables.
Well, they also may loosen up the credit policies too.
That was just exactly what I was going to get to.
Sorry.
You know, they may change those kinds of things. The credit policies, the quality of the buyer may go down. In other words, the credit worthiness of the buyer may go down.
Mm-hmm.
And so the receivables that build up on the books may be even less likely to be collected than otherwise. You know, here's what I advise buyers. 100% of the time I advise buyers to let the seller keep the collectibles, the receivables,
right,
and collect them themselves.
Right.
does present a little bit of a logistics problem, because if you're buying Bob's Sporting Goods, let's say, and you're keeping the name Bob's Sporting Goods, and these customers are on the books, let's say they're, you know, various teams and other organizations that have an account with your company, may owe $100,000 collectively. But then what's going to have to happen is the seller of Bob's Sporting Goods is going to have to notify those customers and ask them to pay him directly, and under a different name. You know.
What about Russell? What about this? What about structuring the deal so that because what happens is then you got two different people contacting the customer for the same account, and I agree with you. That's one way to do it, and I've seen that happen many times, as I know you have. But what about this idea? What about telling the seller that you will pay them for those receivables, but only when they're collected?
As they are collected. That's a very good way.
And
as
if
well.
They're not collected within, say, 6 months, they come off of the purchase price. And even if they're collected after 6 months, the seller doesn't get them.
Right.
Something like right. that.
Right. So there are lots of different ways to structure this. But the key thing is, however you structure it, the buyer should not buy the receivables. They should pass them along. They should just find a way where the seller receives the money that's paid for the receivables. And you know, the formula you just suggested is probably one of the best, and that way it takes the onus of collecting the receivables off of the new owner, of the buyer of the business. And you know, there's another thing. Even though sometimes receivables are being collected fairly regularly, and they look like they're, you know, the oldest receivable might be 60 days, let's say, and they're always seem to be collected between that, you know, 30 to 60 day period. Sometimes there are some customers out there who will take advantage of a change of ownership, and even though they may have been paying their bills up till then, once the owner changes, they
That's right.
sense an opportunity to get away with something.
That's right.
And then they decide, well, not to pay, even though they had a good payment history.
It's a form of it's kind of a form of accounts payable terrorism in a way. Stand by, Russell. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, we've got some more to talk about with our good friend Russell Brown after these messages. When we come back, we're going to talk about a little bit about his website, because I want you to know what he's got going on there, because I think it'll help you. Tintel, stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 7-Tel. We're grooving with our good friend Russell Brown. And folks, Russell thinks that the reason I've kept him around all these years as our business buying and selling expert is because he's such a cool guy. But that's not really it. I mean, he's a cool guy. That's true. But the main reason I've kept him around is because this guy knows what he's talking about when it comes to buying and selling a business. I've never known anybody in my life, and I've done a lot of this, a lot of buying and selling business. I've never met anybody who knew as much as or more as Russell, and who was able to put it in plain English for the average small business buyer or seller. And he can do it, and he does it with his books, Preparing Your Business for Sale, with his other book, Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business. He's got an outstanding program that's just absolutely dynamite called the BizPricer. And Russell, all that's available at your website, and I want you to tell us how they can get there.
Well, the business, it's called Business Book Press. .com, just like it sounds, business, book, press, put those three words together, .com. And when you get to the website, all of those items that you just mentioned are there. Also have some very inexpensive downloadable reports, such as accomplishing due diligence. Which is
some of the stuff we're talking about right now, folks, that's in a report that's very, very important.
And most of my both of my books and the software are all downloadable.
Huh.
You can buy it. You can within 2 minutes you can have these books or software right there on your computer.
Now, the accomplishing due diligence is in one of the books, right?
It's in the strategies for success in buying and selling a business. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the BizPricer, Business Valuation Software, you know, you don't have to be planning to sell your business owners out there. You should know what the value of your business is today. Even if you're not planning to sell for 20 years from now, you should know what is the value today. What is it? And once you understand, you go through that process, you'll start to see what are the components that make up the value of your business. Mm-hmm. So as the inevitable time comes when you're going to sell that business, you can start to pay more and more attention to those factors that are going to create value in your business.
Everything that we say, ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about buying and selling a business, a lot of times we talk about the buyer. But the truth is, you know, we're also talking to the seller as well, because there are two sides of the desk there, and both of them need to know what's going on. And Russell, I've forgotten how much the BizPricer is.
It's if you want it on CD-ROM and a hard copy manual, it's $99.95, and if you want to download it immediately, it's $79.95.
Okay.
You get the same thing as you do for the hard copy CD-ROM and manual.
Okay, check that out, folks, at businessbookpress.com. Russell, one of the things that when we talk about these things, accomplishing the due diligence, obviously we're talking about things that take time, and it take expertise. And as you and I talk about these, I'm imagining the faces of some of the people that I've worked with over the years, back in the years when I was a consultant doing these things. I'm imagining the faces of some of the people, real life faces, as their eyes glazed over, and as it was just agonizing to them that I wanted them to take all these due diligence steps. And they said, I just want to own this business. I love it. I want it. I just got to have it. And I used to say to them, you know what? You know, why don't you just take your money and walk over there to a shredder and shred it up. It'll be less painful. And people have to realize that this is not like buying a shirt off the rack, and if you don't like it, you don't worry about it. I mean, this is a decision that you've got to take your time and make sure you do it right, don't you, Russell?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it is for most people, buying a business or selling a business is one of the biggest moves of their life, one of the most important things that they do. I mean, this ranks right up there with getting married and graduating from college and all of those kinds of things. It's a super, super important thing. Owning a small business can be the most rewarding way to earn a living in life, but you have to make sure that you're getting into a situation that is going to be successful for you if you're the buyer. And the seller, if you're selling, you're typically selling because you're getting ready to retire.
Right.
And you need you need money to live on in your retirement. You want to enjoy the fruits of your labor.
Russell,
so
I got to wrap it up. We're coming to the end of the segment. But folks, remember this. It takes months to buy a business, not days and not weeks, typically. Thanks, Russell, for being here. Good job today, as always. And we will see you next time.
Okay, thank you, Jim.
Russell Brown, ladies and gentlemen, businessbookpress.com. Don't forget that website. Go there and check it out. He's got a lot of free stuff there, too. You don't have to, not just stuff you can buy. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.